Welcome to the J-Pop Exchange on C-Suite Radio. I'm Sean Bird, your host for the show. Today, exploring the $5 billion Dragon Ball franchise, from conception to localization. A key difference in the way the music is handled for current Dragon Ball properties versus previous versions reveals a lot more about the current trends in localization than it may seem at first glance. As part of this week's The J-Pop Exchange on C-Suite Radio, we'll have an exclusive interview with Norihito Sumitomo, a dynamic composer and Berklee College of Music graduate. Mr. Sumitomo is the most recent to compose for this popular franchise. What was it about this franchise that made it so popular in Japan? Further, while the series is very popular in America now, the franchise initially struggled for several years. What were the key factors that turned things around? Find out on this week's The J-Pop Exchange on C-Suite Radio. The Dragon Ball series originally began as a manga or Japanese comic in 1984. It was published in Shonen Jump, a publication that features 15 to 20 different manga properties on a monthly basis, and is very open to accepting submissions from entry-level artists. Their motto that they've had for 50 years is that a new artist's work may be really boring or really amazing. Either way, it's worth taking a chance. It's also worth noting that in more recent years, they do accept submissions globally. It is predominantly the popularity of the series with fans that dictates whether a series will remain in their publication for months or many years. Akira Toriyama is the original creator and artist for the Dragon Ball series. He already had a successful manga under his belt for Shonen Jump titled Dr. Slump, so they were eager to give him the opportunity to create Dragon Ball. There were arguably two main factors that helped Dragon Ball become a widely popular manga. First, Dragon Ball drew heavy inspiration from the Chinese novel Journey to the West, a novel that was also very popular in Japan. Second, Akira Toriyama was very inspired by Jackie Chan's films. Mr. Toriyama would fuse the action of a kung fu movie with the suspense of an episodic serial, leaving the reader to want to know what would happen next. As long as people are intrigued, which in this case they were, this served as a great device to ensure continuously successful sales. The manga was so popular that an animated series followed in 1986, also titled Dragon Ball, and largely contained the same story of the original manga. The series lasted 153 episodes. It's worth noting that in Japan, new episodes of a series generally aired on a weekly basis all year long. Reruns of a show are not very common and are often only reserved for instances in which a series is very popular. And even in an instance like that, it's usually after the original run. So you could have quite a few cases in which nearly 52 new episodes of a program would air each year. When Dragon Ball concluded its run in 1989, a new program followed in Japan later that year, titled Dragon Ball Z. While Dragon Ball Z drew upon the same influences as Dragon Ball in terms of its source material, it added a unique blend of supernatural elements and, oddly enough, contemporary elements as well that made the series very unique in its own right. The Dragon Ball franchise has now become a very popular series in America, but it struggled for years before it gained popularity. So how did it gain popularity here? We'll talk about that a little later on today's show. Right now, I'd like to take this opportunity to share with you two pieces of music from the most recent iteration within the Dragon Ball franchise, Dragon Ball Super. These pieces are composed by Norihito Sumitomo. We'll have an exclusive interview with Mr. Sumitomo in just a few moments. Right now, Here's Mr. Sumitomo's piece, Days of Battle, which is actually an arrangement of the original opening theme to Dragon Ball Z in Japan. That will be followed by Believe in Yourself, a composition by Mr. Sumitomo.
Hi, I'm Norihito Sumitomo, and you are listening to the J-Pop Exchange with Sean Bird.
Joining us right now is Mr. Norihito Sumitomo, right here on the J-Pop Exchange. Hi, Mr. Sumitomo. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
Oh, thank you for sparing your time for me too, you know?
If you do not mind, please tell us something about where you were born and where you grew up. Was it in a large city or a smaller town?
I was born and raised in a rural town not far from Osaka named Tokushima.
Did your interest in music begin in your childhood? How did you become interested in music? Tell us about your musical studies and training.
I started playing the piano at the age of 4. And I didn't like taking lessons and reading music, you know. So I was a kind of dropout in a way. But I did like recording my own improvisations on tapes. Perhaps my piano teacher from that time would be surprised if she saw me now.
Interesting. How and when did you decide to pursue a career in music? Was it always your intention to pursue a career in music?
I recall it was more like I couldn't come up with anything else to do that I made a decision to become a professional musician. Composing music was the biggest part of my life. When I really decided to become a professional musician, it was right after I won a national competition with my wind band. It was when I hit 14.
Wow. Can you give us some insight into your writing process? How do you progress from inspiration to creation?
I never try to create music when I can't come up with anything good. On the other hand, I always have the whole complete image of a piece of music when I set myself to work. Therefore, I never feel stressed or get lost. It's almost like the act of excreting. You don't go to the toilet until it happens, right?
Who are your musical influences?
This is a good question. I can't think of anyone as I, keep trying to find my own style. Maybe Stravinsky or Debussy, if I must say.
What music do you listen to?
I listen to all kind of music, like jazz and pop, and sometimes rock and roll, and sometimes opera. Yeah, something like that.
How did you become involved with composing music for television?
It started when a film director asked me to join a project for TV. He's a benefactor who taught me how to enjoy scoring for films. I still work with him and releasing a lot of soundtracks together.
Interesting, awesome. And please, tell us about the scoring process behind the production Dragon Ball Super. Where in the process do you, as a composer, become involved? What were your experiences?
I start composing music once the screenplay is delivered. It is very easy to work with production staffs as they handle my compositions with care. I still can't believe I was involved with such a remarkable piece.
Also, if you don't mind, please tell us about the scoring process behind the game Gran Turismo 5. Where do you, as a composer, become involved in that case? And what were your experiences there?
My composition was used in a very unique scene in the game. When I watch movies about race car driving, I feel a sense of superiority from the viewpoint of the driver. I compose the music thinking of standing at the victory stand.
Fascinating. And you also contributed as an arranger. Please tell us about the arrangement process behind the Professor Layton series. Where in the process do you, as an arranger, become involved? What were your experiences?
I heard the composer of the game was a fan of mine. He told me that he really wanted to work with me for a long time. It was a good experience for me to study other composers' skills and approach.
Are there any particular instruments that you prefer to use in your compositions or orchestrations?
It really depends on the project. I always keep in mind to take a new approach.
Do you have any current or upcoming projects that you would like to talk about?
Now, playing Dragon Ball Z, Real 4D, exclusively appearing on the screen at Universal Studio Japan. Come to Japan and check it out. And I also hope to work on my solo album.
Sounds great. In conclusion, is there anything you would like to talk about that we have not discussed thus far?
New York is a very special city for me. I would love to spend all my time there in my old age. I'm not sure if you know, but I'm also performing of Nathan East's tour as a saxophone player. Dear Sean and all in New York City, I'd love to come to your city. So anyone, please invite me, okay?
Thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with us.
It was very fun. Thank you for your time.
You're listening to the J-Pop Exchange on C-Suite Radio. Here's another great composition courtesy of Norihito Sumitomo. Thank you. on today's show, I gave you some insight into what made the Dragon Ball series a popular franchise in Japan. Right now, as promised, I'd like to take this opportunity to share with you the story behind the popularity of Dragon Ball outside of Japan, specifically in America. It had a much rockier start, and first I should preface this by mentioning in America, the series' manga form is far less popular and remains that way for the most part. It's the TV series and movies that are emphasized here. In the late 80s, a company known as Harmony Gold acquired the rights to the original Dragon Ball anime. It received limited home video release and was televised in a few markets for a brief period of time. The localization was quickly canceled due to low ratings and lack of interest. A second attempt was made by a company known as Funimation in the mid-1990s. They emphasized the Dragon Ball Z property, and it ran for 2 seasons on syndicated TV. In Japan, the targeted demographic was late teens to early 20s, whereas in America, the show was predominantly marketed for kids. The original Japanese musical score and songs were completely replaced. The original Japanese version had orchestral music and was scored more like a drama, whereas the localized version had much more of a rock sound and was scored more like a cartoon. In other words, unlike the original Japanese version, musical cues were constantly being played with practically no interruption because there was a perception 20 years ago that kids would get bored if there was not enough background music playing constantly. Though faring better than the attempt made in the late 80s, after 2 seasons and 53 episodes later, the localized version was canceled due to low ratings. But this was not the end for the series here in America. Not by a long shot. Around 1999, Cartoon Network had great success with their anime block of content known as Toonami. Anime such as localized versions of Sailor Moon proved to be very successful for them. Cartoon Network, eager to acquire more content, purchased the broadcasting rights to Dragon Ball Z. Cartoon Network, as well as other cable channels, tend to rebroadcast their shows frequently. This was the spark that made Dragon Ball Z popular in America. Constant rebroadcast equaled continuous opportunity for people to check out the show. This series and other series, such as Pokémon, helped a great deal to make the anime genre not only accepted outside of Japan, but popular as well. As you know, of course, as part of today's show, we have been playing music by Norihito Sumitomo in addition to our exclusive interview with him. Mr. Sumitomo's score for the Dragon Ball iteration Dragon Ball Super is not replaced when the series is localized here, and is the same as the original Japanese version. Further, the opening to the show, titled Chozetsu Dynamic, is performed by Kazuya Yoshi for both the original Japanese version and the English language version. It really is wonderful to see that, thanks to the popularity of this genre, and to some extent, fan outcry, Japanese anime franchises such as Dragon Ball remain closer to the original Japanese source material. On that note, I want to share with you 2 more compositions by Mr. Norihito Sumitomo, and we'll conclude today's show with the opening to Dragon Ball Super, Chozetsu Dynamic, the English language version performed by Kazuya Yoshi. Right now, enjoy these 2 compositions by Mr. Norihito Sumitomo. The first composition is titled Compromise. That will be followed by Like That Cloud. Thank you. finally, here's Kazuya Yoshi's English language version of Chozette's Dynamic, the full-length version of the song. This song serves as the opening to Dragon Ball Super in both Japan and America. For more, please visit jpopexchange.net. For the J-Pop Exchange on C-Suite Radio, this is Sean Bird signing off. Take care and have a great day.